Comfort, comfort, ye my people. For unto us a child is born, good news of great joy, the titles of Christ, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christmas card themes produced by Ad Crucem. Send a greeting card this Christmas season that's centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. AdCrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com, AdCrucem.com.
That's an Advent hymn. As of yesterday, the church has entered the Advent season. So it's a time of waiting. And for most of us, the default position is thinking of as a time of waiting for, well, Christmas to come. And that's not altogether a bad thing. But is Advent more than just not Christmas? Joining us to talk about ways your family can celebrate Advent, regular guest Anna Mussman. She's a stay-at-home mother of two toddlers. She's author of the blog Sister, Daughter, Mother, Wife, and a recent column for The Federalist titled What I've Learned About Christmas from Marrying an Advent Stickler. Anna, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you are a Christmas lover married to an Advent stickler. What does that situation look like?
Oh, it's one of those, I guess every marriage has this something where you sort of look at each other and like, wait, what? You know, why do you think that way? And it's been one of those things where we discovered after we got married that we viewed what you're supposed to do in December differently. In my family, it's all about, you know, putting the tree up early and having the cookies and having lights and doing all the things and being very Christmassy. And we just kept going all the way into January as well. We didn't get tired of Christmas. But in my husband's family, they do things in a much more sort of old-fashioned German sort of way. They put their tree up on Christmas Eve and decorate it Christmas Eve, and everything Christmas waits until it's actually Christmas, and then they celebrate the 12 days. So we've had, I suppose, discussions throughout the 5 years of our marriage about, you know, well, what about white lights? Is that, could we call them Advent lights, you know, and how do we arrange these things so that we can celebrate Advent and Christmas at the same time? So currently, we do not have a Christmas tree up. We'll do that. We'll probably do that on the 23rd or 24th.
Okay, so one of the things you have learned, you say, is that Advent isn't simply not Christmas. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, it's a season, and every season has something about it that is special. And in the church, I mean, the seasons are there for our benefit. It would be sort of sad if we skipped spring or summer or fall. I suppose there are places in the U.S. where you don't get the full four seasons, but we all think about those four seasons and we're aware of them. And in the church here, Advent is there for a reason. We start off the new year in the church with Advent, and as we start off the new year, we're looking forward to Christ coming back to us. And it's interesting, the contrast between what the department stores and the secular world is doing and what the church is doing. There's a lot of fluff in the secular world, and it's fun. There's a lot of pretty things, pretty sparkly lights and you know, tasty cookies. But we, you know, a lot of people who celebrate a more secular or mainstream Christmas, who do all the lights and the pretty stuff and the fluff, they talk about this big letdown as soon as Christmas is over. You know, there's this big slump, the bills come in and it's so depressing, and you take down the lights and then you just wait out the winter. Whereas in the church, in Advent, we're not just kind of pretending that the problems are not there. We're not pretending that we can just cover everything with tinsel and ignore life's hardness for a while, but we recognize that. And in Advent, we are experiencing this penitential season that reminds us that, yes, there is suffering in life. There are a lot of dark things in life, and life can be hard, and we are sinners, and that's why we are waiting for the person who is going to come, the Savior who's going to come and save us from those things and redeem us from those things. And I think that's why when we celebrate Advent, Christmas feels different. It's much more real. And after Christmas, instead of some sort of big slump, we can go forth into the rest of the winter with hope and joy because we know that our Savior has come for us.
You say that Advent gives us an opportunity also to think about, in terms of kind of as a family, what we really want to do when Christmas comes around and we begin that celebration.
Right, right. And a lot of people, I think, feel pressure about Christmas. It's supposed to be some sort of thing, and you go over budget and you do all these things. But when you're trying to spend Advent in contemplation and waiting and yearning and peace and thinking about our Savior coming, it does give you a chance to realize you can't do that and spend the month rushing around with all of these obligations and all the parties and all the things. And it does help you pause and think about, well, you know, what do we really want Christmas to be? What is Christmas really teaching our children? And what is Christmas really about?
I think the thing that the kids liked the most probably about bringing Advent into the home was getting to light candles. Is that a good idea?
Oh, well, yeah. My children, they love the candles. The candles are very, very important. You know, the four-year-old has been talking about the wreath for probably about a month because he knew it was coming. And they keep talking about the candles and talking about, are we going to sing O Come, O Come, Emmanuel? And we let them help light the candles. So my husband will, you know, help them with the match and help them light a candle. And then whoever did not light the candle gets to blow it out at the end. And it's very exciting. It's very meaningful. But it's also a teaching kind of thing. You know, it's letting children be involved with the Christian life and the life of the church and do something that will help their understanding grow as they learn more about the rest of the whole Advent devotions, as they learn to listen to the Bible readings or the hymns and think about what we're doing there.
I was hanging lights last night, outdoor lights, and I came across our Advent calendar. Why is one of these helpful for the celebration of Advent?
I think it's helpful to remember that we are counting down the days. We're waiting for Christmas. To children, as you said at the beginning, they're kind of waiting for Christmas, and adults are maybe more aware that we're waiting for our Lord's second coming. Either way, it's a reminder that this is about waiting and preparing, and it is a nice way to kind of mark the days as you go through Advent and make that season something specific instead of just this vague time.
You say put baby Jesus in a drawer until Christmas. What is that about?
Yes, we love nativity sets. The kids have been playing with our nativity set, and I have a couple more fragile ones that I keep higher up. But our baby Jesuses are not out, which can surprise people sometimes when they come to look at the nativity set and they say, oh, the main character is missing. But we keep baby Jesus in a drawer until Christmas because, again, we're waiting for Jesus. Jesus is coming. And when you see that discordant note, that thing that's missing there, it really does help children and adults remember, again, we are waiting. And it does make it quite an exciting moment when it's time to go through the house and hunt and find baby Jesus and take him to the manger and put him there because he has come.
Does it help to have all of this reinforced by a church that is waiting on Christmas, that is celebrating Advent as you would be in the home?
Definitely, definitely. And I really appreciate it when pastors and churches and congregation members realize that it is helpful to everyone when they can try to wait on Christmas, try to really mark and celebrate Advent, and try not to sort of give the children Christmassy things too early, sort of on a mistaken notion that that's the only thing children can understand. Because, of course, you know, our children are, they're part of the church, they're members of the church, and they should have that same nurturing and teaching from the church years as everyone else.
Anna Mussman is a stay-at-home mother of two toddlers. She's author of the blog Sister, Daughter, Mother, Wife, and a recent column for The Federalist titled What I've Learned About Christmas from Marrying an Advent Stickler. You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Anna, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
If you're looking for a Christmas gift for an Issues Etc. fan, consider the new audio DVD from both of our Making the Case conferences in 2017. This audio DVD contains almost 20 hours of teaching and preaching featuring regular guests on Issues Etc. We'll send it to you for a recommended year-end donation of $300. You can order by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Make sure you write DVD in the memo line of your check, or you can order it online at issuesetc.org. Just click the DVD logo you'll find at issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Sharif Girgis about the Supreme Court case, Masterpiece Cake Shop v. Colorado Civil Rights Commission, that the Supreme Court is set to hear tomorrow. Does a baker have a First Amendment right not to be compelled to design and create cakes celebrating same-sex weddings? We'll talk about it tomorrow. I'll talk with you then.
Monday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.